Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And coming up next is our AI Corner with Karen and Bob. And the first story we'll talk that Karen and Bob are going to do a deep dive on is academic papers that are getting pulled because the folks who are doing the research aren't buying the license for the software to do the research. Let's see what Karen and Bob have to say.
All right. So today we're going to dive into something that's kind of surprising, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're talking about academic papers.
Okay.
Getting retracted.
Mm-hmm.
And not for the usual reasons, like plagiarism.
Right.
Or, you know, like bad data or anything like that.
Yeah.
But for
what?
Unlicensed software.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
I know, right.
I mean, that sounds like a technicality almost.
Yeah, but it's...
That's obviously a bigger deal than that.
It's a really big deal.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about...
What are the implications there?
Well, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Academic research,
mm-hmm.
it's all built on this...
Less trust.
Right, in the findings.
Yeah.
And so if you're using software that's not licensed...
You're compromising that trust.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so we have this article here from The Register.
Okay.
And it highlights a case
mm-hmm.
where Elsevier's AIM-CHAMS Engineering Journal mm-hmm. had to retract... two papers.
Oh, wow.
About dam failures.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because the authors admitted to using FLOW 3D software.
I see.
Without a proper license.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they admitted to it.
I know.
That's...
It makes you wonder, like...
It does.
How widespread is this?
Right.
And they actually...
I mean, what are the numbers here?
The article mentions that over 10,000 papers
wow.
were retracted in 2023.
Okay.
And so...
Not all for software issues, presumably.
Right. Right.
But that's a big number.
Yeah.
10,000.
That's a huge number.
That's a lot of retraction.
So it does kind of raise a red flag.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Well, it goes to the point that you were making before.
That's right.
About, you know, submitting a paper.
Yeah.
You're sort of implicitly agreeing.
Yeah.
That you're adhering to these standards.
Exactly.
You know, legal and ethical standards.
Yeah.
Including intellectual property rights.
Right.
So if you're using unlicensed software... You're breaking that agreement.
You're breaking the agreement?
Yeah.
And it's not even just about the legalities of it.
Right.
It's like there's a bigger picture here.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of connects to the ongoing debate
okay.
around open access
yeah.
in academic publishing,
mm.
right? So like okay. on the one hand, you have people who are...
Researchers,
yeah, who are passionate
yeah.
about sharing knowledge freely.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Swartz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who's
yeah.
fight for open access.
Sadly ended the way it did.
Tragically ended, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's a tough story.
It is a tough story, yeah.
But it brings up that point,
yeah.
you know, that tension between yeah. wanting to share information.
Yeah.
And the systems in place,
mm-hmm.
you yeah. know.
And this case with the engineering journal.
Right.
It kind of adds.
As another layer.
Another layer, yeah.
To that conversation.
Yeah, because it's like.
Okay.
Okay, so academics are expected to pay.
Yeah.
For this expensive software
mm-hmm.
to do their research.
To produce the research.
Right.
Yeah.
But then they face all these barriers.
Share it.
To share it.
Yeah.
You know, it's contradictory.
It does seem contradictory.
To say the least.
Yeah.
And speaking of access, Faith Majeka Logbe, who's a legal scholar, argues for something called a secondary publishing.
Right? Interesting.
Yeah. So essentially this would...
What is that?
Give researchers a way to distribute their work independently.
Okay.
Regardless of the publisher agreements.
So they have a way to get it out there separate from the publisher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it's like you've got this...
Kind of a workaround.
Yeah, kind of a workaround.
Interesting.
So you've got this backdrop of tension between open access and traditional publishing. Mm-hmm. And now this whole...
Unlicensed software issue.
Right, yeah. Kind of throws a wrench into the works.
It does complicate things.
Yeah. What does this mean for someone who, you know,
so
might not be...
The thing about these guys, you know, we'll plot them down. And the thing about the AI corner, just listening to them go back and forth, right? A lot of the back and forth is just like so, I don't know, silly, right? It doesn't get to any meat. It's just like yeah, that's interesting.
Right. They're continuing to talk about it, but they're not saying anything different.
Right. So, I mean, that's kind of the interesting part, I think, about AI corner too. But... So this topic, though, the other issue of using unlicensed software, guys, and when you're in academia, you're downloading stuff that could have all sorts of malware built into it, right? So be careful when you find unlicensed software to do your research. We have seen numerous examples of folks trying to do that, download software from these dark web places. Yes, that's where you're going to get it. And if you're not paying for it, they're going to include a payload that could damage your university or your own machine itself. So, you know, and of course, having that your paper pulled, 10,000 papers pulled, obviously you guys may want to check your work. But the idea of posting it on a secondary source, that's just called Facebook. You can post your stuff anywhere you want, right? So having a secondary place to put your research is really not that big a surprise if these journals won't accept it, but these journals will accept pretty much anything these days.
A lot of them will, yeah.
So you can just say anything you want. I just found it interesting. And I was getting so our AI corner, we'll keep going with it, but if they keep talking like, that's interesting, oh, wow, back and forth, what do you think? It seems almost too silly sometimes.
Yeah.
That it was better, I think, originally. I think it might be learning differently as more and more people use it. It's going to continue to learn.
Well, what I've noticed is that the original audio that we generated was very short.
Right.
I think the first one I did was 8 minutes or something.
Yeah.
This latest one here that we're going to be doing in a moment, it was originally 16 minutes. I carved out a little segment.
Right. It's almost like they're trying to figure out ways to extend it.
And they're filling.
Right. And this also, Carolyn pointed this out. This is a Google product, same as Gemini. But again, Karen and Bob have not threatened our lives yet.
No. So, or yours.
No. So let's see what Dennis's article talks about. It talks about China and these hackers, right?
Yeah. The FBI and CISA announced that Chinese hackers have been monitoring wiretap systems at some of the telephone companies.
All right. Let's hear what Karen and Bob have to say.
Okay, so we're diving into something today pretty wild, you know, like straight out of a spy movie. Chinese hackers stealing wiretap data. This is the actual content of conversations authorized by court order.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. I mean, just the thought that this kind of data, which is collected for unlawful intercepts, often involves some really sensitive investigations, and that could be in the hands of a foreign intelligence service. It's unsettling, to say the least.
For sure. And this isn't, you know, some conspiracy theory. We're basing this deep dive on an article straight from Politico, published on November 13th, 2024. It's titled, China-linked hackers stole wiretap data from telcos, FBI, and CISA say. And the FBI and CISA have confirmed this counterintelligence breach, which is basically when a foreign government tries to, you know, undermine our security. It's got everyone on high alert.
Absolutely. And this wasn't just, you know, a quick peek or a casual hack. These hackers really dug deep. The article quotes the FBI and CISA stating that the Chinese copied certain information that was subject to U.S. law enforcement requests pursuant to court order. So they had a compromised system specifically designed for these lawful intercepts. We're talking about a very sophisticated operation here.
So they weren't just browsing around. They had specific targets. The article even names President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance as individuals whose phone numbers were targeted in this hack.
Yeah, and it's important to note that being targeted doesn't necessarily mean they actually listened in. Mm. But still, having your phone number on their radar is a serious concern, especially when you consider the massive scale of this whole thing.
Right. The article mentioned that they accessed the records of tens of millions of Americans and potentially eavesdropped on thousands. I don't know about you, but the thought of my phone records being accessed, even if nobody listened to my calls, it's pretty unsettling. It really makes you wonder how vulnerable we are.
Yeah, I mean, this incident raises big questions about security measures, specifically within the telecom industry. How did the hackers manage to get this data in the first place? Were there vulnerabilities in their systems, or did they exploit loopholes in the legal framework? These are things we need to take a very close look at.
And get this, Verizon, AT&T, and Lumen, some of the biggest names in the telecom industry, they're among the 10 providers impacted by this breach. If you're listening right now, chances are you probably use one of these companies. It really hits home, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. It does. This breach is a huge wake-up call. It shows that we're living in an increasingly interconnected world where the lines between the physical and digital are more and more blurred. And our reliance on technology, you know, it's created vulnerabilities. And this incident really exposes the potential consequences of those vulnerabilities.
It's like we're building this amazing house with all the latest gadgets and conveniences, but we forgot to put in a security system.
Exactly. And now we're finding out that someone's been walking through our digital home, taking notes of our conversations, our habits, our connections. This incident with the wiretap data, it really makes you wonder, what other vulnerabilities are out there lurking? And speaking of vulnerabilities, the Politico article also talks about another active Chinese hacking group. They're called Volt Typhoon.
Oh, yeah. This is where things get really interesting. They've been targeting critical infrastructure, which is honestly pretty terrifying when you think about it. I mean, I rely on things like online banking and working remotely all the time. So the idea of a cyber attack that could shut down our power grid or our water supply, that's a little too close for comfort for me.
Right. And Volt Typhoon's activities, they show a different side of the cyber threat landscape. While the wiretap breach was focused on stealing sensitive information and maybe intelligence gathering, Volt Typhoon seems to be more about causing disruption and potentially even crippling essential services. So this isn't just about data theft. It's about potentially impacting the daily lives of millions of people.
And to add to the worry, the article says that both of these hacking incidents are still under investigation. So what happens next? Could the U.S. retaliate against China for these attacks?
Well, the potential fallout from these incidents, it could be massive. If the U.S. government can definitively prove that China's...
So that's kind of scary stuff out there, there, Dennis.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify that when it said that they had tried to get into phone numbers for Trump and Vance, mm-hmm. that only means that they were looking for those phone numbers in this system. It doesn't mean that there were any wiretaps to look at.
Right, right.
They were inquiring.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Pretty amazing. And CISA, however you say it or play it, those guys are out there since 2018. That was a new department that was created by the Trump administration. We definitely need better cybersecurity here in America. And these are examples as to why. And the folks at CISA, or CISA, as Bob calls
them. Come on.
Sorry, CISA. The folks at CISA are out there trying to help us, and they'll do it for free. So if you happen to be a business and you want to see how your company stacks up as far as its cybersecurity, you can reach out to the local CISA office here in Hartford. And we've had David Palmbach on the show. And if they are available, they're happy to come out there and show you where your cyber and physical security could be improved for free now.
Yeah.
Now, maybe under the new administration, they're going to have to charge. But otherwise, it's still a good thing to have in place. So we'll step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. I know you're all raking leaves. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we got four lines wide open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, no matter where you are. If you're listening on the old Odyssey app, if you downloaded our podcast, we're here to help you out. As we wait for your calls, we do have an email that came through.
Happy to have the email come in. Someone asked about disabling their touchpad in Windows,
yep.
And they're not able to use the normal Windows controls to disable it for some reason. Sure why.
Yeah.
What I suggested was to use Device Manager,
yeah,
where you open up Device Manager, you look at the input devices, And you might have to do a little bit of elimination to figure out which one it is, because it may have a generic name like HID compliant device or something like that.
Are you serious? HID compliant device. That sounds really confusing.
Human interface device is what HID stands for. So you hit it in order to interact with it. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Too many acronyms.
There may be a little elimination there going on in order to figure out which one it is, but you can disable it from there.
Yep.
And that essentially pulls it out from under Windows. So the fact that Windows won't let you turn it off doesn't even matter. It's not going to find it.
Gotcha.
And that'll take care of it.
All right. Your calls are all coming in. We knew you were there. So let's go to your calls here. I think we're going to Greg first in Naugatuck. What's happening, Greg?
Okay, guys, I broke down and bought myself a smartphone. I never had one. Xfinity had such a deal on them that it was... Anyway, it's a Motorola. It's a decent phone. And here's my problem. I love to stream radio stations for music and stuff. And I have the iHeartRadio app. I have Odyssey app. And I get you guys and everything. So I'll be playing a music or something. And no matter what, after 15 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, it just shuts off. And I can restart it, you know, go through the routine of restarting it.
Yeah.
But then 15 minutes, it just shuts down no matter what. And I even have Sirius XM on here, and it does the same thing. Any thoughts? Is there any kind of timer? Any thoughts on this?
We may have to look it up, but it could be a setting. It sounds like it's too consistent to not be a setting where the phone streaming folks, the provider of the cell service, want to turn it off thinking you're not listening anymore. You know, like kind of like Netflix asks you every now and again, are you still watching?
Yes, I do. I'm familiar with that. Yep.
Same idea. We may have to look it up, though, but there's probably a setting where you can tell the phone not to do that to the app. Maybe it's a leave it in the background type setting. If I can think
okay.
of it. That's most likely, I'm guessing, what's happening.
I wouldn't be shocked to hear that, you know, but I have no clue where the heck to look for that or settings or whatever.
They give you this great phone deal, right, because they know you're going to pay for the internet service and cell service, but they don't want you to use the cell service. They just want to make it look like you're going to, and you just pay the monthly. So I bet you there's some setting. Can we put you on hold then, Greg, and see if we can get the answer after the bottom of the hour news?
Absolutely, please.
All right, we'll do that for Greg and see if we can get some answers for him. And then all of you guys woke up. All four lines are jammed up. We appreciate that. We'll try to find some answers. Did you already find one, Dennis? Is that what you're saying?
I have not yet.
All right, we'll find one, though. We promise. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So Greg, Laura, Walt, and whoever you are on the other line there, no number, no name, the mystery caller, we'll do our best to get to your calls between the last half hour of the program. So stick around. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, and you guys woke up. Four lines all jammed up. We thought you were there. We weren't sure. Sometimes you just got to rattle the cage a little bit. Greg is in Naugatuck, and he's just bought a smartphone. And when he's streaming his audio on his smartphone, the stupid phone turns off the stream. Right, Greg?
You got it.
Doesn't sound so smart.
After a certain while.
Yeah, so we have some answers.
Yeah, we found this is an Android, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an Android. Yeah, gotcha. Motorola Android.
All right. Well, one thing that a lot of Androids have is a feature called battery optimization. You may have to turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
And we posted an article that goes over that. There's also other features. Well, some of them are for Samsung phones, which you don't have.
But they're like sleeping apps. You got to turn those off if it's Samsung.
Yeah, but that isn't your issue.
No.
There is a battery optimization setting you can turn off, and there's also some other ways to check the specific permissions for the app that you're talking about and maybe change those in order to do that. And that's included in this article that we posted on the website.
Okay, and I get to that again on computertalkwithtab.com.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Very good. Hey, listen, I can't wait to check it out. What the heck?
Yeah, and you thought your smartphone would take care of all this for you, but you thought it would just work, didn't you, Greg?
I thought it would, but I'll tell you, that. And they're tricky, I found out, but other people have told me too, they're tricky. You touch a button and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't work. I mean, it generally I can handle it, but, you know.
What happens when we get a, what happens when we get a smart toaster?
What's this world coming to, guys? Everything's a computer, and we know that they sure aren't perfect.
They think
people can drive cars automatically, and the computers will never break down, and the cars will never get stuck. They're crazy.
You're never going to hear that from us, though.
Not yet. Not yet. All right. Thanks, Greg.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. Please keep up the good work and keep this show going. We love it.
It's our pleasure. We will. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, you too. Well, now, we are catching rockets out of the sky. That is something pretty cool that's happening. So we are making progress.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to Laura in Middletown next. What's happening, Laura?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
So I heard you talk about CISA checking businesses, and I heard, you know, a couple weeks ago you talk about how a hometown government got hijacked.
Yeah.
And I guess, how do we know or encourage our local and state governments to do a computer cyber security checkup, and can we encourage it? How do we check for vulnerabilities?
That's a big question.
Yeah, that's a huge question. Maybe just my first thought is go to a town or city council meeting or a board of selectmen meeting and bring it up.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, have you considered doing, you know, a cyber assessment? And I'm pretty sure that towns and cities can get that through CISA.
Right. They can.
In addition to companies, businesses. So just ask. I mean, ask the question and, you know, offer that idea and see what they tell you. It's possible that they've started looking into it. Some towns and cities are probably on a track for some kind of review, but one of the issues they have is a lot of disconnected systems that don't necessarily integrate and that not everybody involved in the town even knows about.
Right.
So getting all of the right information is necessary, and CISA can help them, you know, work that out.
Would you mind posting the link to CISA on your website?
We will.
I think it's already there, but I'll check that out and make sure it's there. And Mike G can post it on Facebook too.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Yeah. I mean, the thing about our towns is that, you know, they are a government agency, right? So if they're not really, we're the customers per se, but if our stuff gets hacked, what are we going to do, right? The other issue too is a lot of the folks that are in these roles really may not know what's going on. I mean, some of them have been in these roles forever and just don't have the updated information to know what they don't know. And actually, CISA has come up with NIST 800-171 that basically is an important framework for how you should handle cybersecurity within any organization. And so if you're part of a town government and you want to try to improve your cybersecurity protocols and stance, you can go ahead and look at the 800-171 compliance framework for NIST and just try to follow those recommendations. 40% of it is a cybersecurity update where you have to add additional tools and security products to improve, but 60% of it is just operationally doing things the right way. You know, having 2FA on your logins, you know, not using the password of 123456, you know, just those basic aspects of cybersecurity and cyber hygiene need to be implemented, and you have to actually keep doing it. You know, having an assessment, having some company come in and charge you $10,000 to say your passwords stink is kind of silly. These tools are out there. CISA actually has a whole framework tool out there that you can actually use. It's a free software. You can actually, I can't think of what it, we used to have it on our website for many years back in 2018 when it first came out. And you can follow it. You don't need to pay a consultant to tell you your passwords stink and your processes are awful, because they probably are. Just look at the DMV. We've talked about them for many years. They had that state auditor tell them all the time that they didn't have any disaster recovery.
They've got to develop disaster recovery procedures.
And they didn't.
Yeah, they wouldn't do it.
And just look at our voting systems, right? The voting systems we use for scanners were designed in 1986. We bought them when they were end of life and ran them for 20 further years, getting parts on eBay. That's our government. We can't have nice things, right? Because, well, all sorts of reasons as to why. CISA's out there, and they're definitely going to help make people more aware, and we should take advantage of it because we're paying for it anyways. Let's go to Walt in Weathersfield next. What's happening, Walt?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I've got two possibly related questions about 2FA and logging on to sites with Google or Apple. I'm used to logging on with my own ID and password,
right.
But on most services, you have a thing, okay, or you could log on with Google or Apple.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that you're using Google or Apple or whatever the other service is to act as the authentication agent
right. For
whatever it is that you're logging into. In other words, they're relying on that service to authenticate you instead of having their own authentication method. The good thing about that is that you're going to be logging in with your credentials for Google or Facebook, whichever that is.
Right.
And okay. If you've got 2FA on those,
you're better.
Then that's going to be invoked.
It's a federated connection.
Right. Federated is the word for it. But in a lot of cases, it just makes it a lot easier for you to log into these things because you're remembering only one set of credentials and you only have one 2FA method that you're going to use to get into all this different stuff.
And if you're on an Android phone, you're already logged in.
Right.
That's why they can say you can use that connection
right.
already.
Right. That's
authenticated.
That's what will happen if you use Google to log in. Your Android phone will already be connected, and the Android phone will throw up a notification saying, hey, are you trying to get into this thing? And then you can say yes or no. And that in itself is an additional layer of security in addition to your credentials and any other 2FA method you have.
But to Dennis's point, you better have a real good security on that Google login, right?
Right.
It better be really complicated password, 2FA enabled.
Yep.
Because the more you use that as your federated connection, the bad guys, if they get into your account, have more access than just that.
Yeah.
Okay. Related to that, some services say, or you can use an authenticator app like Google Authenticator, which looks like it is a software method of generating a key that you would have to type in that changes every 30 seconds or so.
Yes, sir.
Yep, that's exactly what it does. It is a form of a passkey, but it is in a software format, where the software is generating the pass key behind the scenes for you and passing it off to whatever service you're getting into. That's fine, too, because that's also 2FA on top of however else you're logging into the service.
Because only you're going to get that number.
Right. That's the only place that code is ever going to appear is on your smartphone in that app.
Yeah, you just have to do some work to set it up, to register the service with the app, and you pick the right one.
Yep.
So a lot of places, well, I don't know about a lot, but some of the ones I've been using are asking you to set up an alternate 2FA. I've been using, the SMS messages and typing in the code, but one said, well, or you could use Google Authenticator. And I said, well, what the heck is that?
Yeah,
I started looking it up to see, and it looks like that might be an option.
It is.
It is, and it's technically better than an email verification or SMS, which is what you mentioned. Unfortunately, a lot of banks will only use SMS, and I don't know why.
I don't know. Because they're insured. They don't care if they lose the money.
Yeah, maybe. But at any rate,
I care.
It's well, yeah. You'll get it so
back.
Do we.
You'll get it back.
But like I said,
we'll just print some more.
Taking the real benefit of taking advantage of that federated login using another service like Google or Facebook is that you are taking advantage of whatever security they have in place that you have set up already, and then you're using that to get into the service.
Okay.
All right, well.
All right. But that isn't necessarily any better than using your own ID and password and a 2FA method.
On a technical level, it's no different. It's just a matter of convenience of using one ID to get into a number of different things as opposed to having one ID on each one.
Gotcha. Well, maybe in enough time I'll get over having to change my password from 123456.
Ah, gee.
Oh.
Yeah. Get
one
that
of
thing
those
changed.
Guys.
This no, is... I've never had that as, you know.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All right,
you've
well,
helped me out, and we'll talk to you again.
Our
thank
pleasure.
You.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll step out for a quick break. Get to more of your calls. Lewis, hang on. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number, and your password better not be 123456, although lots of you.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're using that. We'll be right back.
Baby, bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye.
All right, we are back, and we're here till 11 o'clock. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. And without your calls, Dennis and I would have nothing to talk about except for our kids and his cats. But we are definitely chatting with you guys, and it's great that you're keeping us busy. Let's go to Lewis in East Hartford next and see what he's got going on. What's going on, Lewis?
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Yeah, I don't really have a computer problem, but I need some guidance, some direction, because
yes, sir.
Basically, I have a Dell computer, a Dell laptop computer, which I think has seen better days. And in addition to that, I think I got some kind of notification from Microsoft saying that Windows 10, there will not be kind of supporting that operating system or something to that effect.
Yeah, your machine is pretty old then.
Yes, because I have had it for about 3 years and I bought it second hand.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Having said that,
yep.
I need some guidance as to what are some good laptops, computer that I should consider.
Well,
to replace this one,
there's lots of them coming out there right now. There's even Mike G sent me a link that for one that his sister is looking at. I think it was at BJ's. It actually had a current CPU. It was by, I think, Acer. So there's some laptops out there that are really aggressively priced and actually will serve you pretty well. So you may want to take a look at some of the deals that are happening. Black Friday is coming up, too. So mm-hmm. you'll get even bigger deals. So I tell you to look at the HP Envy line. That's what I have told everybody for, you know, folks who want to send their kids to college or what have you. You're going to have a good quality laptop that should give you many years of service. Make sure the case is metallic, not plastic. You don't want any plastic hinges. i5 or i7 CPU, 16 gigs of RAM, a terabyte or whatever you can afford, a solid-state hard drive. But you want a current-gen CPU. You're going to want a 12, 13, or 14th gen CPU. The deal one that I just referenced, I think, was a 12th gen. From my recollection, I could be wrong. But the older gen CPUs are going to be the cheaper available prices there because they're trying to get rid of them. But that's to your benefit. So you can end up getting a very good system for a lower price.
You suggest to go to the HP Envy line?
I like the HP Envy line. If anybody ever asked me, a friend or anybody, that's where I would send them first. They're a good consumer-grade laptop, and they've done well by my three boys. All three of them still run them. One of them, I think, is now out of college for a good 8 years. So it lasted a very long time. Take a look at those. But yes, if you like Dell, you can look at the Dell lines. But the older gens, the 12th gens, are going to be your cheaper options. And the current gens, the 14th gens, are going to be more expensive. And for what you're doing, probably an i5 is going to be plenty of CPU, unless you're doing something graphical or with music. I think you're right, an i5.
So okay. The second choice would be, you said the first choice would be Envy, and the second choice would be Dell.
Yeah, Dell would be fine. Yeah, they're a fine brand.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
But definitely take advantage of the Black Friday pricing that's going to be coming out. I think you're going to see a lot of discounts even before then.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
One other question.
Yes, sir.
One other question. Mm-hmm. When I save something on my cell phone, like for argument's sake, when I'm in Facebook, sometimes I see recipes come down.
All right.
And I try to save them, but I don't know where they are saved to. So my question to you, when you save something like that, where does it go?
That's a great question.
All right. Do you have a Android or iPhone?
Android.
All right. On your Android, you're going to have an app called Files or My Files or some name like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, when you open that app, you should look for a downloads folder, and all of them should end up there automatically.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the thing that's kind of weird, is there's a Files app that you have to open to find your files.
Files on the computer, on the phone. Yeah.
It's a great question. It's a very common question.
Now, I have a Samsung, and when I tap the Files app, not only does it show me those locations and folders, but in the middle of the app, it shows me the latest things that have come into the phone, no matter where they go.
Yeah.
So if you've just downloaded a recipe you tap that app and you've got a Samsung phone, you should see that document right there, right in your face. You don't even need to tap downloads. You'll see it.
All right, Lewis.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great, guys. And thanks very much for the information.
Our pleasure, sir. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So you got to use that Files app. I had the same issue trying to find my stuff. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over on X and Facebook. And Dennis, of course, for posting everything over to computertalkwithtab.com. And thank Karen and Bob for the AI corner, although they're getting a little wordy. We'll have to see if we continue with those guys. If they're boring me, they're boring you.
Yeah, I had to play with that quite a bit.
So
remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
We'll see you next Saturday. And thank you, Carolyn, for producing. Almost forgot.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.